Wonderful to be with you again on a Sunday morning. I think the third time I've been with you on a Sunday morning, and I'm really pleased that the girls in our red team at school can get up early and get here on time. I don't know where the boys are, but well done, Latifa and Eunice, who are here this morning, our head girl and deputy head girl, and I'm going to be talking with them, and I hope you'll be talking with them in a moment or two as well. And there are some other Trinity pupils here as well. Cassius. Hello. We've got Cassius from Trinity Primary School here, and I think, did I see somebody else? Alice is here. She's gone out quite sensible. She hears plenty of me at school, so she's taken a breather on that one. Well done, Cassius. You'll go far. But it's really good to be here on this Sunday, and when I looked at the readings, I wondered whether I'd been asked specifically, but I think it was just divine providence, because they are about teaching and learning, which is what I spend most of my life doing, one of those things. And if you have a look in your Bibles, if you've all got a Bible, at where Nehemiah comes, and this morning's reading is on page 491, Nehemiah sounds like a prophet, doesn't he? You know, we all know what all the prophets' names end in I-A-H, but he's actually not really a prophet at all. And this book of Nehemiah comes after the history books. If you look, if you just flick through, you see Chronicles and Kings and Samuel and Joshua, which follow the Torah, the law, at the beginning of the Bible there. So we're hearing this morning about the history of Israel. And as a teacher, it's a really interesting passage because obviously at school all our teachers are working very hard. I'm sure the girls will say this to make their lessons very interesting and exciting and plan short little bursts of learning and activity. And then we get this very strange teaching here in Nehemiah where they just read the book of the law for the whole of the morning. Well, I don't think I'd like to try that at school. We'd soon have some people there looking a little bored, I think. And it's such an interesting book that people shout out, Amen, amen at the end of it. I don't think we've had that at school recently. If we went to one of the Pentecostal churches, not very far from here, they will be shouting out, Amen, amen. And Latifa is particularly brilliant because she's going on to her church later on. Is that right? What time will you leave there today? 5 o'clock. So we're lightweights here because I'm not going to go on that long, I promise you. And will they be shouting out, Amen, amen? Excellent. So feel free to do so, Latifa. I won't be too upset if the rest of you don't. So this passage is about the law, the people learning the law. And then you go to the Gospel of Luke, page 1031 in the Church Bibles. And I'd just like you to flick back a few pages here as well, because what you'll notice is how close to the beginning of Luke's Gospel this passage is, because Luke had the birth foretold, the birth of Jesus. We had Mary and the song of Mary, the Magnificat, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, then the birth of Jesus, the presentation in the temple, the boy, Jesus, the only reference to Jesus' childhood. And as somebody who works with children and young people, I'm always disappointed there's not more about Jesus' childhood in the Bible. Then we have the going into the wilderness and those sorts of things. And so this is the first public teaching of Jesus. He's about 30 years old now. And there's something really interesting here because I go to synagogues sometimes. It's always very interesting to do so. And the scrolls of the law are incredibly difficult to read because the Hebrew is written without the vowels, if you can imagine that. If you imagine English words with just the consonants, so G, D for God or whatever it would be, and the reader has to work out what the vowels are. So you have to be quite a skillful reader of Hebrew in order to read from the scroll. So Jesus must be a very educated person. And, of course, it's not his speaking language. The speaking language in Palestine at that time would have been Aramaic. So it's a second language for Jesus as well. So we've gone from the Nehemiah, all of that learning there, to Jesus, this educated person. But it's a very inspirational passage as well, isn't it? This is his key message, his vision statement. These are the things that he's going to do. He's going to set the prisoners free. He's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to, in his presence, he is the fulfillment of all of this. So, I asked at St. Peter's this morning people to say, what did they think education was for? We've had this model of education here, and then this educated person who is the fulfillment of things. I want to change the question this service a little bit, because we've got Latifa and Eunice here, who I'd like to answer some of your questions. And I'd like you to think about some questions about education and learning. We have schools all around us, Trinity just down the road. So those of you who live around here will see our 700 or so children coming and going each day, and you probably have lots of thoughts and opinions about education. Strangely enough, everybody's an expert on education, and I'm often told how I should run my school, and I'd be interested in what you think about education and what the girls who think about education. I've known them since they were 11 years old, both of them, and I shall be very sad when at the end of this year they will leave. I admitted at St. Peter's I will probably shed a small tear at the cathedral next July. So there are some cards at the ends of the pews, or you've got them, and there should be some pens as well. And I'd like you each, or in pairs, to write down one question to ask the girls. Not really just the very kind of basic stuff about school, do you have to wear uniform, but try and think about some of the deeper questions. These are incredibly deep, powerfully thinking young women that we've got here with us this morning. And I'll be really interested to hear in what questions you want to ask about what we do at Trinity, what we do in schools, and how that impacts on our young people. So we'll have 2 or 3 minutes just to think of a question. When you've done it, put your hand up, and then the girls or I will come and collect them. And then I'll choose a few of them to ask the girls to answer. And Cassius, do you want to answer any questions? No, just ask some questions. Very wise. So if you'd like to write a question down, and when you've done that, hold it up so that the girls or I can come and collect them. Very good questions here. Richard, who's the vice chair of governors, and Bridget, who's as vicar a governor at the school, were thinking yesterday about Ofsted and what questions they might be asked at Ofsted, and what questions no doubt you should ask those of us who work in the school. So it's very interesting to see what questions are here today. So, girls, do you want to come up to the front? Don't be shy. And if I push that on, lovely. Some more questions. Excellent. Do you want to hang on to that? So I won't be able to ask all of the questions, otherwise we will be here till 5 o'clock, and then Latifa's pastor will get very cross with me. Okay, so this is an easy one. Are you ready? What do you think you will still be talking about your time at school when you are 50 years old? That's as old as me.
Well, I think I'll be saying that my head teacher was very good, first of all.
this is how they got promotion. No money has changed hands yet.
Yeah. Now, I'll definitely say that, like, the teachers were very supportive, and they gave their free time, like, on Saturdays and all of the rest to get us the grades we got. And, yeah.
Okay. Don't know how I'm going to top the head teacher comment. I think in a few years' time, I'll still be talking about the ethos of the school. I think Trinity has done a very good job at making everyone feel included, and sort of the motto almost is a place at the table for everyone to be seated where everyone is equal. And I think that's just so different for a school than any other school I've ever been to. So I think in 50 years' time, I still will be talking about how equal and sort of safe we felt at Trinity.
Thank you. No, that's interesting. What advice would you give to a new teacher at Trinity? That's an interesting question. What advice would you give to a new teacher at Trinity?
Well, I think, like, I would tell them, I don't think they would, I would tell them not to panic, because I feel like everyone in our school is just like a family. So I think it would be easy for them to fit in and stuff.
I would tell them, what would I tell them? To be themselves. I think I've seen lots of new teachers come in and sort of, I don't know, maybe try to be like a textbook teacher, but I think just being yourself and letting your personality shine through is something that really sort of resonates with kids at Trinity and something they'd like.
This is quite a challenging question, so it's quite a long question, and I have to say before you answer it is don't use any teachers' names.
Oh,
you can give examples, but no names, please. Jesus Christ was a living example of how we should be, kind, loving, and compassionate. Can you think of teachers in your school who model excellence in those things? And with it, can you think of teachers who don't, who say one thing and do another? Okay, that's a good question. You can see why I asked no names.
Well, I feel like all of the teachers do well in what they do. they all do it differently. And it's just about understanding where they're coming from, even though sometimes it might feel like they're on your case 24/7. It's just because they want the best for you.
I don't think there are any teachers that don't display kindness at our school. And I think, but the ones that definitely sort of exude that are the ones that seem to genuinely sort of care, not that the teachers don't care, that seem to sort of genuinely care about your well-being and sort and take more than just an interest in your teaching. They take an interest in you and what you're about and your interests. And I think that's definitely one of the ways kindness is shown in teaching.
Good. What do you think is the most important thing you have learned at school?
The most important thing I've learned is just to be myself, really, because I feel like the teachers and everybody just accepted me for who I was, and it just helped me grow as a person, spiritually, and yeah.
I think I learned sort of valuing other people sort of for what they can bring to the table and sort of their character and the way they are. I think being at Trinity, you meet a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life, and being at Trinity has definitely taught me not to judge a book by a cover and sort of appreciate people more and sort of bring them in.
Thank you. How has your education shaped your identity or philosophy on life?
That's a hard question. Wait, repeat that. Please.
How has your education shaped your identity, made you the person you are, or your philosophy on life?
Well, I feel like because of like how the teachers help me and stuff, I think it's made me feel like I can be, like I can become whatever I want to be in life for the future. So they've almost prepared me and made me more set on my mindset to be a lawyer. So I feel like the education has really helped me know where I'm standing and how far I need to go and what I need to do in order to get there.
I think the education at Trinity has made me put less of a focus on sort of academic achievement and more on sort of the things I've acquired socially at Trinity, so sort of being able to talk to people and being able to be confident and hold a conversation. And I think being at Trinity, although grades are sort of an aspect of education, you learn that there's more to it. There's more sort of like self-exploration and, like Latifa said, lots of spiritual and emotional growth that happens at Trinity.
And what do you think Trinity School has given you that other schools wouldn't have?
Well, yeah, red gowns. I feel like the gowns make you feel more, not powerful, but they make you feel more like a leader. And I feel like as a leader, your whole mindset changes and you just tend to do things that you might not have thought you should have been doing. And I feel like as being deputy head girl, it's changed me for the better, really, because I feel like now I can see things in different aspects in life. And I feel like it's helped me a lot, not just in school, but outside school when I'm with my friends and stuff. So, yeah.
I think Trinity has definitely given me sort of a broader experience with religion. Being at Trinity, I think if I didn't go, I wouldn't have been able to visit places like Walsingham and done pilgrimages and sort of be at a church like this. And I think that's one of the aspects of Trinity that I really do enjoy. You don't see, religion isn't superimposed on you. It's something that you're just sort of, that's sort of a part of the school and you're kind of taught to appreciate and enjoy.
One of the questions is, do you feel confident to talk about Christianity or religion with other pupils?
Yeah, I definitely feel confident to talk about religion and stuff. Like, I understand everybody has their own religions and some people are atheists and stuff, but I feel like I should be confident, like, yeah, you should be able to talk about what you believe in and not feel like you're going to get judged about it or anything. So.
Yeah, I definitely also feel like I can confidently talk to people about religion. I wouldn't say I was very religious myself, but I think being at Trinity has sort of shown me that you can sort of reconcile sort of being religious and also without sort of, I don't know how to put it. I think being at Trinity, you can definitely talk to someone about religion without being religious yourself, because there are so many different aspects to religion that involve love and sort of appreciating other people that you don't have to be religious to sort of appreciate those things and be able to show them to other people.
Tell us one thing that makes a lesson outstanding at Trinity.
I feel like the discussions are really good, because when you get to hear what different people think, it makes you understand what you're learning a bit more, because like, that's how I learn anyway. Like, I feel like discussing and talking in pairs and in big groups and doing presentations help me understand what I'm learning a bit more. Clara?
I think an outstanding lesson is a lesson where everyone, despite their ability, feels they can engage and contribute something. And so, like Latifa said, lots of discussion, lots of activities where, regardless of your ability in that lesson, you feel that you can definitely put something forward.
This is a big question. How should schools be judged?
How should schools be judged? All right, well, I feel like I'm not going to say school is 100% great at times, because you can have your downtimes at school. I'm sure everybody knows that. But I feel like school should be judged in a positive way, because I feel like it grows you as a person. It helps you become what you want to be in the future. It gives you many opportunities to become what you want to be anyway. So I think it should be judged in a positive way, actually, yeah.
I find that sort of lots of government policies sort of are often judging schools on grades and the league tables. And I find lots of schools are so very competitive to make sure their kids come out with all those A's and A stars. They forget about the sort of pastoral care of things and making sure that, you know, each child can sort of cultivate their personality and be amazing people in the world. So I think schools should be judged I think it should be changed, and schools should be judged very little on grades, because grades are important, but there are more important things. And I think schools should be judged on how nice the pupils are to each other. Is there lots of bullying in this school? If there isn't, I think that should be placed before sort of how well their kids are doing on the league table.
Yeah. What do you think we could do to improve?
Well, I feel like we're doing a very good job at the moment anyway. If anything, maybe a bit more educational trips. That could help. being put on the spot here. But yeah, maybe a few more educational trips.
Like Latifa also said, Trinity's doing quite well. Things to improve. It is difficult, isn't it? I don't know. I don't have anything at the moment. Maybe more pupil-led assemblies. I can't think of anything. Yeah.
And what one thing would you say? There isn't, I think, anybody in church now, but there was just before the young people went away. Would you give an advice to a 10 or 11-year-old who's going to secondary school? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say, when I was in year six and I was moving on to the secondary school, I was a bit scared, because I was thinking, what if I'll get bullied or anything like that? But I would say to them that they should be confident, and if they do come across bullying or anything, they shouldn't be scared to tell a teacher or anything, because I feel like the teachers do help, and their parents also. I would also say that they should kind of start from young, so they don't leave it till last minute, and it doesn't, like, it's not too much stress, like revision and everything. I would say start from the early. And apart from that, I think just enjoy it, because you only live once, right? So, yeah.
I think I would say to someone joining secondary school for the very first time that they should sort of grab all the opportunities that are given to them, because, like Latifa said, you can only do secondary school once, and I think... Yeah. The best way to do it is to do it in a way that you can enjoy it. So join lots of extracurricular activities and make lots of new friends and be a prefect and, yeah, you know, apply for head girl and deputy head girl and just do it all.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I think you've been absolutely fantastic. Let's give them a big round of applause. Well done. Thank you very much indeed. You want to go and sit down. It's so interesting, isn't it, to hear what people think is important about education, because at St. Peter's this morning we came up with some good words. Nobody has exam results and things like that as the most important thing about education. And when I think about those two passages that we've heard this morning about the inspirational Jesus and about the reading of the law, I'm thinking a lot about how we try and approach the education of the young people in our care. And it's about two things, I think, that we need to bring together, because it's very easy to think of Jesus as the heart person, if you like, the inspirational, charismatic teacher there, and Nehemiah and the reading of the law is very much the kind of dry head kind of person. And it's sometimes easy, I think, as Christians to think of the Old Testament as kind of not quite good enough, and the New Testament as so much more exciting and spiritual and enlightening and all those sorts of things. But actually, I think we need to bring those things together. And in the Eastern Christian tradition, there's a very strong element of, they talk about taking the mind down into the heart, getting the mind into the heart, to get those two things functioning together. And I hope that's what we try and do at Trinity. Yes, there's a lot of things to learn, facts to learn, stories to learn, and we need to teach that. But it's also about all those values things and about individuals and valuing the individual as well and exploring and being able to make mistakes as well. And one of the things that I'm constantly thinking about is how we make Christianity attractive to people. And you'll have seen some reports in the papers about the Church of England numbers going down. It's not true here, I know, so you're bucking the trend here at the Good Shepherd. Amen! What is it that makes Christianity attractive to people? And I think we need to get those two things together. It's not just about the heart, though that's really important, but neither is it just about the things we have to learn. It's about the two things together. And I suspect that we've neglected a bit the head stuff, the actually teaching the truths of Christianity. Now, I'm going to ask the girls a question now. Can you remember the one word I came up with at the beginning of this term in assembly? I'm not going to be able to do this. I can see this happening now. For what education is for. No, they're not going to. That's a terrible test, isn't it? It was on the screen in assembly. No. Well, what I think education is for, don't worry, is freedom. It gives us the freedom to be ourselves, to not be constrained or restrained by any of the things that stop us being free. And at the end of every academic year, when we go to Southwark Cathedral, I say to those children, young people who are leaving us, and Latifa and Eunice will hear it in a few weeks' time, few months' time, as they have done for 5 years. I'm not going to test you again. I hope that what people leaving the school realize is that for those of us who are Christians, we believe that God is real and Christianity is true. And the things that we're going to say in a moment in the creed together, the things that we're going to do at the altar together today, we believe those things to be true. And that's what we need to teach people. That's one of the things that I think the Alpha course is so good at, is that teaching of the Christian faith, which together with what's in our hearts, if we bring those things together, will make Jesus convincing for people. This Jesus who told us this morning that he is the fulfillment of the prophecy. He is the one who brings freedom for captives, sight for the blind. So let's pray together now. Living God, we believe that you are real and that Christianity is true. Help us to make Jesus known to those around us. Help us to teach his love, his compassion, his kindness, that in him everyone may find that freedom which is your will for each of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.